Hey, welcome everybody to another exciting episode of the Pulling on Heaven podcast, the only podcast where sometimes the host is the guest and the guest is the host. How are you, Pastor?
I guess that's called sharing, right?
I guess that's called
sharing. How are you, Steve?
I am fantastic. I'm really excited about our conversation today. You had said something on Sunday at church that was like a little nugget to the whole thing, but it was such a great, everyone in church was just like, whoa, when you talked about how we go about a lot of times when there's people we idolize, there's famous people, and people like to get people's autographs. Even if you're not into that, it's still, if someone gave you a book, a special copy of a book autographed by William Shakespeare, and it was a copy of Shakespeare's plays, or a photograph of some famous athlete or something like that, you know, that's value. Even if you're not the type of person that cruises around getting them from people, yeah. You know, getting an autograph means something. You were talking about how people, we go around, we like to get people's signatures in our little books.
Oh, we do. You know, look at people, we idolize them, or people idolize someone for a variety of reasons and a lot of their interest, you know, based on what their interest is. If you're a guitar player, you know, a famous guitar player, oh man, if I could have him.
So if I could get a guitar signed by that person.
A signature on my guitar, how great would that be, you know, whoever it may be. And same with, you know, if you're into film or television, actor, actress, whatever it is, you know, people tend to look up to people they feel are accomplished in certain aspects of their interest. And, you know, you and I have both seen people, you know, they come up with a t-shirt or a hat or their little book and they want, you know, whoever they admire, be it an actor, actress, film star, athlete, you know, whatever they may be. And especially if they're more legendary, as it were, you know, been around a while, made a lot of significant marks or leaps in their career, whatever it may be. But it struck me one day just how, you know, when I've watched people come up, I've personally never done it, but I've watched people come up and ask for an autograph, someone's autograph that they admire. And it just struck me just quickly and just deeply how much different, the great difference between the Father, between God, between the love of Christ and what we love and what we admire. And, you know, people will come up and say, hey, meet someone, have their book, t-shirt, hat, whatever it is, and say, would you autograph this? And they autograph it. And, you know, they're all excited because they have a personal autograph from whoever that person is that they admire so much. But it just kind of resonated in my mind, and it just made me laugh and shout at the same time inside. Because what I thought about, what just came into my mind is how different it is when we come before the Lord, when we meet Jesus for the first time, and we just meet the Lord. Instead of Him writing His name in our book, He writes our name in His book. You could say He wants our autograph instead of Him giving us His. And who could you admire? How great is God? Who is the greatest, brightest, shining star? Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. He's called the bright and the morning star. And it just struck me so quickly. It was one of those things that just happened in that, you know, just insight in just a second. But how great. We seek out for someone's autograph that we admire, and yet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is the superstar of all superstars, the bright and morning star, He asks for your autograph in His book. He wants to write your name in His book, and it remains forever because God is all about sharing who He is. God is so loving, so kind, and He doesn't need anything from us. What would God need from people? What would God possibly need from people? God's love is such a superseding, surpassing love for mankind, for His creation, that it's impossible to fathom, because God is a giver. And I guess you could say the only thing He has ever taken from us is our name, so He could put it in His book. And how great is that? Because He just doesn't need anything, but He gives everything. God is a giver.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's such a great analogy, because it really flips the picture, I think, that we have in all the ways relating to God. Like, we think of God as like you would a star, someone who's over there. And the closest I'm going to touch to them to take with me is leave your name in my book that I can take from this souvenir. And it's like, we're happy with like the little crumbs that we can get from whatever that is. But God's such the opposite of that. God's saying, no, you come here into me and I'm going to give you everything, because I am everything.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. God gives us everything. Everything he gives is all that we need. So we lack nothing. But it's our expectations of who God is where I think a lot of people get lost, become discouraged, disheartened, wonder whether or not, you know, is God with me? Did I do something wrong? You know, am I being attacked? All these different things that people think about, rather than just focusing on how great a giver God is. And the scriptures tell us that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I don't think I can drive this point home enough. God just wants to share, because that's who he is. He's love. He that dwells in love, the word says, dwells in God, because that's who God is. God is love amplified beyond the measure of any comprehensive figuring out we could ever do in our mind. There's no way to figure out, no way to mathematically lay it out in numbers or in size or depth or time or space, the love of God. It's so surpassing, because we know love based on what somebody does for us. You know, We've said all the time, we say all the time, you have to like someone for something. What did God like about us? You know, we all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. There's none worthy, no, not one. But God so loved the world. And what was it about us that he loved? You know, you just at some point got to say, what was it? You know, we all know who we are. And his love, it wasn't just a feeling of compassion that God felt for us. It was a directive from his own heart to transform us into a vessel that he could give into. And that's what God loves about us. He can give to us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how many people do you know say, you know what I love about you is that I can just give you everything that I have. I can give you everything that I am. And that's what makes me love you. And that's what God loves about us, is that he can give. God is a giver beyond anything I think we could ever even imagine.
Well, the thought just struck me, like, you know, when I want to do something nice for my wife, or you do something nice for your wife, you know, they're always appreciated. But there's a point where someone does something nice for you, you've done nice things for me, and I'm just like, Pastor, that's too much. No, stop. And it's funny, like, we come to God and it's like, we certainly have our list of wants.
Oh, yeah.
I want this. I want this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this or this. But the flip side, too, is like, suddenly something good, it's too good. You can't be that good to me. And so this weird paradox that we live in, where it's want, 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 but I'm not worthy, or I'm not deserving, or I'm not that. And we get kind of in this stuck place where we're not really going anywhere, and we just become stagnant, I think.
Yeah, and that's where it's really important to be thankful that you woke up this morning. You know, one of my prayers every day is, God, thank you for life today. You know, thank you that I woke up today. Thank you for the day you made. And you know what I think about the day. I don't think any day just shows up, because it doesn't. Every day is formed, fashioned, created, and made by God's will and purpose. So he can give us. Give us what? All that he is. And, you know, we can get so fixated on the little trinkets that we want from God. You know, I want this. If I only had, we were talking about a dream house, or a dream car, or a dream job, or whatever it is, you know, whatever your part in a film production, or whatever it is. But these are trinkets compared to what God is talking about, in that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, most assuredly, God gives us the things we need. He takes care. He supplies. You know, he said, ask and it will be given. And he certainly does. But I think if we could ask a little more accurately, a little more about who he is, we wouldn't need the trinkets that we find so necessary in order to be happy and be fulfilled and feel successful and accomplished. And it is the fullness of who he is. And to me, that is just mind-blowing. And then this is what I know. There's only one way to please God, and it isn't by all our you know, heartfelt efforts, by our best intentions, by all the sweat, blood and tears, you know, that we can pour out, the only way we can please God is to receive all that Jesus is. Isn't that something? If we're going to please one another as friends or our family, I mean, certainly they know our love and our heart, but you and I both know, I buy my wife flowers from time to time, you know, or I just love to treat my wife to dinner so she doesn't have to cook once in a while. You know, you do those things, yeah. and you give those things, and that's us showing our love to our family. But the Father goes so far beyond that, that it's like getting a meal that you can't even comprehend putting your fork to, you know, right. Like, this is so incredible. I don't feel worthy to eat this. That's God. And you know, you've received the gift of God when it overwhelms your sense of worthiness, your sense of qualification or qualifying for his gift. That's what it is, because it isn't a what, it isn't a thing, it's a who.
Yeah.
And the gift is who he is.
Yeah.
Who he is. Christ in us, the hope of glory, our hope of ever experiencing the glory of God. And God's gift, or you can call them gifts, but it's really the gift of who he is, the gift of Christ, is so overwhelming. You know it's a gift from God when you feel absolutely unworthy, unjustified, unqualified for what he's given. And that's who he is, and not the things that he gives us. And really, if we would be more focused, and the great way to focus on who he is in praise and worship, thanksgiving, just declaring who he is, thanking him for who he is. A grateful heart is a confident heart, a peaceful heart. A grateful heart is a strong heart, and it really focuses your mind and your attitude in being able to see and experience all that he's given.
Yeah.
And when we experience the greatness of his gift, you can't get into his presence without God giving you something. What would he give you? The moment you step into his presence, keeping in mind he's omnipresent, okay? But the moment you step into his presence, what I mean by that is you consciously just say, you're here, your faith.
Yeah.
He gives you peace. Now, that peace isn't something he just pulled out of his pocket and said, here's a piece of peace. It's his nature. It's who God is. Yeah. It's the literal character of God. And it's in his presence is fullness of joy. You can't get into his presence. You can't acknowledge him. You can't love him. You can't worship him without him giving you something. Yeah. And it's either a sense of confidence, a sense of peace, a sense of fulfillment or success or just being elated or overwhelmed. It's always something, because God is a giving spirit, and there's no way to get around him and not get something from him. And what we get is who he is, and that's the greatest gift we could have, and it's overwhelming.
It makes me, I love that you hammered back on the fact of he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And I think about, I just pictured, like, you know, if your kids come down at Christmas morning and you've gotten all these presents for them under the tree, and they're all sitting there, and they, instead of opening them, they turn to you and go, okay, what else you got for me?
Yeah.
You know, they don't even know. They don't even know that you haven't already given them the thing they want. And it starts to go, I wonder how much of life, you know, the life in the physical world that we live in is really about unpacking, acknowledging, and discovering the meaning and purpose of all these gifts that have already been given to us. And we're sitting there saying, give me more, give me more, give me something. And he's like, they're all waiting for you under the tree.
Yeah.
You know, stop looking for that you don't have everything and start looking at what you do have. And that's where I'm already dwelling.
Yeah, great, great analogy. You know, and here's something else. Why do we need all that we need?
Yeah.
A lot of what we think we need, a lot of it, isn't because we really need it. Now, listen, God supplies your needs. He blesses you. I know the streets are made out of gold and, you know, God is a great God. I'm not talking about not being blessed. But what is that? What is that? And who determines what we need? And honestly, it really isn't we ourselves. It's a lot of it is what we see someone else have.
Yeah.
Or what we see someone have we don't have, or we think we don't. So it's really comparing, you know, apples to oranges or watermelons, or, you know, I have an orange, but you have an apple, and I wish I had your apple, and all I have is an orange. It's not what we need. God has supplied all our needs, but A lot of times you just don't see it. He's given us all things and given us to us in such abundance. He's given us the ability to believe God, not just believe him for something. And the whole nature, the whole volume of Christianity, of knowing Christ as Lord and Savior, is exactly that. Knowing him. Paul said, I pray that you have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, you may know him better and know him more. Why? Well, that's the fullness of everything. That's everything that we need, because in Christ, there's wisdom, righteousness, peace, joy, truth, knowledge, understanding, life, eternal life, present life, everything that we could possibly need that keeps us alive. And in the spirit of his fullness, we know then what to do, the things that we need to do on a day-to-day basis, because we're not confused and distracted by something that we don't have, instead of looking at who we have. Christ in me is the hope. I have eternal salvation. I can never lose my soul. I'm going to live forever in the presence of God. And this life is one form of glory. It's one form of the glory of life. But there are endless forms of the glory of life, because everything came from God. All things come from him, of him, through him, and to him are all things. And then the word says, and without him, not anything was made that was made. So everything is the essence of who Christ is. Everything that we have, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation nor shadow of turning. So we really do have, like the Christmas tree analogy, we have everything we need. And it's not what we need that we don't have. It's what we want so often, because we compare it to something we see someone have that we don't have in our mind the equivalent of, or something that we've nurtured in our consciousness that if I only had this, it would, I think I would be more successful. Man, to know Christ as Lord and Savior, to know that when we came to him, he wrote your name in his autograph book. We are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on. We get to do this over and over and over. Yeah. You know, you think about, man, I wish I had a second chance. We have an eternity of opportunities to walk in the glory of God, to see God in a new facet, a new form, a new glory. We get to experience life daily, right here, right now, on this planet Earth, by our faith. That's an incredible glory, and there's no end to it. You know, think about your imagination, how deep, and I know you have quite a vivid imagination. I could only imagine trying to reach the end of your imagination, let alone the mind of God. And the word says the Spirit seeks the deep things of God, and that's what he reveals to us. And then he says, this is who Christ is. Apply your faith to becoming that. Apply your faith to knowing God in this way. So God is such a giver, he'll never run out. But we don't really need anything, because the word says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called you to glory and virtue. And that's an endless river of life.
That sure is. You know, I've been reading the book. You know, a lot of stuff is going on with developments of artificial intelligence and AI, and yes, things are changing. Things are particularly changing fast in the film industry, and kind of this existential crisis of what's going on and who's going to be the one that controls the AI and what's it going to do, and all that kind of stuff, and all these things it can do and give to us.
Yeah.
And I think about that analogy, though, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And if God is our source for anything we'd be wanting to get from him anyways, and if he's inside of us, now we're not becoming God, but at some point it's like you're taking the AI and you're internalizing it so that you're gaining the fullness of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think you've been talking a lot about, you know, the appearance of God and the appearance of Jesus, and when's he going to appear and how's he going to appear, and him appearing in us, and not waiting for some future arrival on the clouds. And we look at our world and we think, oh my gosh, if only he would come here and set up a physical kingdom there and it would take care of all the things. And if he set up a physical kingdom, he's still not inside of me anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And so him being inside of me is kind of access to everything that he is, isn't it?
It is. It is. And he's coming in every way. He has come and he will come in every way he said. He came as a baby. He came off the cross. He came out of the grave. He comes on the clouds of glory. I see him all the time. And he says he's returning on a cloud. He's returning on a cloud. He says he's going to make himself known. He's going to make himself known. But those glories are endless. And for us to wait for a day that hasn't happened is like when Jesus is on the earth and they're saying, show us the kingdom, show us God. And he says, you're looking at him.
Yeah.
You're looking at him. What has God given you today to praise him for, to receive as a gift? That's the thing. You know, I have been waiting on the appearance of the Lord on a cloud of glory. And God said he'd show up that way. So guess what? He'll show up that way. He'll do everything he said. But isn't he here present with me now? Is one glory of God greater than another glory? He is the glory of God.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Lord, the risen Savior. He was the Son of God when he was born of a virgin. He was a baby, but that was a form of his glory, and that was the Lord. As he grew up and became a young man, he was in the form of God's glory. The Word says that the fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form. We're looking at God, okay? That's what the Word says. We're looking at God. And then we see him on a cross. We're still looking at God, bearing all our sins, all the sins of mankind. Think about it. We, you know, people can think, well, God, I don't know if the Lord really cares about me, if he really is aware of what I'm going through. You have no idea. He so is in touch with what you're going through. The Word says we don't have a high priest that isn't able to be touched by infirmities. Be aware. He is fully aware of what it feels like to be in your boots, in your shoes. But I can guarantee you no one knows what it was like to be in his shoes.
No.
Because he bore all the pain of all mankind, every sin, every discouraging moment, every physical, emotional, spiritual pain that anyone has ever experienced, and he bore it in a moment's time on the cross, and he didn't deserve any of it, and he bore it all, and he didn't discount mankind, but said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, okay? He understands your pain, but we will never understand his, and he never even tried to explain his pain.
No.
He never tried to explain. Where do you ever see Jesus coming and saying, oh, you have no idea how I suffered? You know, he said, God so loved the world that he gave.
He's like the anti-victim.
Yeah, anti-victim. Yeah, and he's just saying, when Peter rebukes him for when Jesus tells him, I'm going to go to the cross, Peter rebukes him. He takes him aside and rebukes him. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You're savoring the things which be of men and not of God. He says, this is the very reason I came into the world. How God, you know, I run out of words right. Other than just how God is God, how great, how glorious, but God is so God. He's so good. And he has no opponent. He has no opponent. There's no one that can challenge God. No one can defeat God. No one is an opponent or a challenge to God. So he's given us everything, and he's given us that very life you were talking about. He said he made us in his likeness and in his image so we could take on the very likeness of who he is. Only God is God, and anyone that thinks they're God has lost their mind. Only God is God. But anyone trying to live their life without God successfully has made themselves God. And that's a bit of insanity. Because if you think that you can control the success of your life and understand the meaning and the purpose and live your life in the purpose that you were created, then you must think you're God. Because only God, our life is captured within who he is. And anything, any idea outside of I need Christ as Lord and Savior, I need my name written in that book, is a little bit of insanity, because that makes you think, you must think you're God because you're being God in your own life. There's only one God. But we don't have to try to be God because the Almighty, one and only Lord and Savior, the one and only Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, says, I'll make my dwelling in you. I'll share who I am in my fullness with you, just like the Father said he shared his fullness in Christ. And Jesus says, I in you and you in me. as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. What are we missing? What are we lacking? Nothing. We're lacking one thing. We're lacking the insight and the appreciation for all that he is and all that he's given. Because all that he is all that he's given, so we would never lack anything.
Amen to that. And I think in just wrapping this up then, when it comes full circle and he's asking for our autograph in his book and his love, it's so easy to take his love to mean, and in some ways it does, I'll overlook your lowness. You know, everything that's wrong with you, I'll overlook. I forgave it on the cross. He did all that. And yes, he absolutely did all that. But so what remains is somebody that he's so enamored by, he's enamored of us.
Yeah.
He wants our signature in his book. He's made us to be sons and daughters. And I think so much times part of the reasons we don't receive all that he is because we don't believe ourselves of that nature.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I did this to do something supernatural. So it's not just it's not just thinking about yourself this way. It's not just an analogy. It's like an actual transformation where his love for us and that giving is because of what he enjoys about us, what he's created us to be.
What does God like about you?
Yeah. And it's about us, I think, embracing that and stop seeing ourselves. I think you have to die to yourself, but what gets reborn, we have to embrace as a beautiful thing. That's not us, but it's like, if he feels that way about me, what's that mean that he's positioned me to do? What can I accomplish? What can I be? And how can I then transmit that love back to everyone else as well?
Yeah, if everyone would approach their craft, their gift, their anointing with the attitude, it's no longer I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who is he? And what is it he likes about me? And then you have to think, well, it's not about me as a person that I know myself to be, mm-hmm. but as the very person of Christ in me.
Yeah.
God is love, and he is perfect in all his ways, the scriptures tell us. So what is it? God loves his creation because we are the creation of faith, and he is able to manifest his glory and his love in an undeserving creation just because of who he is, and not because of who we are or who we've been, what we did wrong or what we did right.
Yeah.
And that's what the word means when it says Christ in us is the hope of glory. I look at it like this. All of heaven, the word says that the angels look to see, you know, what are they going to do? What expression of love and faith, what expression of the glory of God is going to be manifest through them? And I look at it like this, like heaven saying, we want to see a facet of God's glory that we've never seen before. Look what God's doing in Steve. That's all happening by faith and faith alone. What God is doing is being revealed. What God is doing in Steve is being revealed through you by your faith in who he is, and a glory that is unseen without the virtue of faith is now being demonstrated in you. And heaven and earth gets to share in it all, and God gets to share his glory with us because that's what love does. Love is kind, love is giving, love is generous, love doesn't look on the wrong. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God. And to make it real simple, if we would just become grateful, and even if you don't feel it, let your mouth tell your ear what you believe.
Yeah.
Get up in the morning, every morning, throughout the day, before you go to bed. This is the greatest season of my life. God is so good, so present with me and so present in me. Where can I go from his presence? Where can I flee from his anointing, from his love? He's with me always. If I go to the farthest corners of the world, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. Where could I go from the presence of the Lord? And that's where we enter into praise, which is really us being aware of who he is, where he is, and that he is Christ with us. And in that, we can do things. I'm telling you, everything we do translates into something that looks like God, and it becomes a lot more successful, a lot more productive. And it doesn't start because we have talent. It starts because we begin to realize who is with me and who has given me all things, and what does that mean? Let's start investigating. You know, let's go on a treasure hunt, and let's do it by starting with the heart of thankfulness. God, I'm thankful that you're with me. You've given me all things. I don't lack anything. And anything that is necessary for me to move forward, you're going to give it to me. You'll make me aware that you've given it to me, and you'll show me how to employ it in the service of my faith, and that you're glorified in it all. How great the love of God.
Oh, that's so awesome. What a great word. Thank you, Pastor. Hope everyone take heed and take heart of this powerful word, going on a treasure hunt. I love that because of everything that he's already given us. Thanks so much, and we'll see you guys next time.
God bless.